Scripture is not discerned by opinion. You cannot rightly apply the Bible until you first rightly divide the Bible. We do not get to decide what the Bible means. We get to discover what the Bible means. Welcome to Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. This is another in our series of This Doesn't Mean That episodes. This episode is dealing with Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This verse is often used in situations where there's a graduation, perhaps even a wedding or the birth of a child, something like that. And it's often applied in those situations, but that's being applied completely out of context. So let's take a look at what does this verse actually mean in its context. So looking at Jeremiah chapter 29, we actually have a very huge clue as to who this is intended for specifically. Not that we can't make observations out of it, but the application was to a particular people, and we're told who that is in verse 1. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 is the verse that's often quoted, but if we go all the way back to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, we find out who this is that is being spoken to and is inferred to by the word you, Y-O-U. So, Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 1 tells us who this is that God has a future and a hope for. It's the nation of Israel. It's not the person who just graduated high school or made some great accomplishment or is looking for some future plans or just got a job or has gone off into some ministry or anything like that. That's not what this verse is dealing with. So let's put it in its context, and then let's see if are there observations that we today can actually make from this passage without specific application of it. So if you look at the text, you see that beginning at verse 4 is the actual prophetic statement from Jeremiah. It runs from verse 4 all the way through the end of the end of chapter 29. So it's a long discourse. I'm not going to read all of it. Verse 11 is within one paragraph that runs from verse 10 to verse 14. And so I am going to focus on that because that also helps us understand the context of this particular verse. So in verse 10, he begins with, after 70 years are completed at Babylon. Oh, before I go any further, let me also mention, this is another example where verse numbers are detrimental to the flow of a context, or can be detrimental, not always, but can be. Where we fragment the flow of a thought. This is another example of a sound bite that's lifted out and then it's pointed in an entirely different direction than what it is intended when it's left within its context. So, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, so that has something to do with this group of you, whomever is being addressed here, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So far, that's five times the word you has been mentioned. From verse 10 to verse 14, the word you, Y-O-U, is in this text 15 times. 15 times, Y-O-U. Every single time, it's plural. It's not singular. So even to take it just on that fact alone, to lift it out of its context and make it mean something individual when the flow of the context is a plural. It's addressing a nation, not a person. going on in the text. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. So that's part of this, to follow the context again. So you have to have been in Babylon for 70 years, and you have to have been brought back from captivity after the 70 years for this to actually apply, literally apply. I will gather you from all the nations. Well, that's kind of hard to do if you're just one person. That's a group of people. It's a plural you. And from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. Here's another example of a passage of scripture where its meaning is easily kept intact, or the context, or it aids in keeping the context if you take the verse numbers out. Go to a Bible app, like Bible Gateway, go to Jeremiah 29, use the drop-down menu, and take out verse number, chapter number, and read the text as it flows. And you'll see that he's dealing with the nation, not an individual. You'll also see that they were 70 years captive. They were hauled off to Babylon, and then they were returned, and then it was fulfilled. So if we follow the context and still want to apply to somebody, well, then do you have to be captive for 70 years somewhere before it's like two generations later that this actually comes to pass. Two generations after the prophecy is given. So this is another one of those verses that is so often taken completely out of context. And again, even though the intentions might be the purest, might be the most sincere, good intentions often make bad expositors. Emotions make a bad exegete of Scripture. So, back to verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the nation of Israel, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, a future and a hope. This verse is dealing with Israel. It's a prophetic statement related specifically to Israel, not to individuals. Now, does that mean that God does not have plans for individuals? Well, I think he does, but that's not what this verse is dealing with. So there are observations that we can often make from passages such as this that we're not making it prescriptive for us or an instruction for us to do as much as it is and as an observation or a description. So what I see in this passage is a God who is taking care of his people. He knows what's going on in their lives. They're patiently waiting. They're heeding his advice and his counsel. So there are all kinds of things that we can observe from passages like this to make an observation application without a specific application. Oh, this is to me, or as some do, I'm claiming this for myself, which again is an injustice to the text to make it mean something other than the author, that is God himself, intended for his word. So let me give you some examples from the New Testament that are generic instructions for believers to do, because we see them repeated in multiple, let's say, epistles. So here's God's plan. If we want something that gives us direction or a plan for our future, or what God wants us to do, his plan for our lives, how about 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. How about Colossians 3:8? Put off anger, wrath, malice, greed, envy. Put on love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. These are specific instructions that believers in general are to apply to ourselves. That's God's plan for our life. You want God's plan for your life? Let the mind of Christ dwell in you richly. Romans 12, put yourself on the altar. That's God's plan. Those are instructions. We do more than just observe a truth there. We apply an instruction there. Colossians 1:10. I shared this in another episode. Walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's an instruction. That's a plan for your life. That's a great verse for somebody who has just graduated from college and is moving on with life or some other momentous moment in life. Colossians 1:10 has been my life's verse as long as I can remember. James 5:16, here's another one. Here's God's plan. Pray for one another. You want to know what God wants you to do as a believer? Pray for one another. How about Ephesians 4:29? Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. These are the things that God wants us to do. James 4:9, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There are all kinds of instructions that are given to believers. This isn't one of them. This is another verse that is taken out of context. This doesn't mean that. So I hope you've enjoyed this short episode on Jeremiah 29:11. I encourage you to join me once again on future episodes. If you have questions or you want to send suggestions or comments, you can email me at rightlydividingtheword215@gmail.com. You can also leave your comments below in the comments section. I encourage you to like, share, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you're aware of when other episodes are uploaded. Look forward to seeing you again here at Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. Take care. God bless. Thank you.